Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the kickoff edition for our fiscal year 20 annual report of the Health Information Technology Advisory Committee. I'm happy to get started again here. Of the work group members, we have Carolyn Peterson, Christina Caraballo, and Brett Oliver. Erin Meary, our other co-chair, cannot be with us today, so I will turn it over to Carolyn Peterson for a few opening remarks.
Thanks, Lauren. Welcome, everyone. It's great to see you all again, and kind of surprising that it's like we hardly finished up the last one, and here we are going into the fiscal year 20 report, but it's great to be working with you again. I hope that everyone's been healthy and safe and is finding new routines and new ways of getting things done while working with the challenges we have in our environment. I appreciate your taking time out of your busy days to get started on the discussions related to the next annual report, and I really appreciate your help in being able to give Michelle and her team some ideas and guidance about how to proceed so they can help us keep it moving. Our agenda today is fairly kind of at the beginning. We're going to look at some potential topics for the annual report. As you all know, we put several things in a parking lot last year because we either felt they weren't ready for discussion or didn't fit well with the work that the HITECH had done during the year. Today is our opportunity to revisit that list and also start thinking about other things that have transpired since that last annual report and about how we want to frame that, thinking in terms of the gap analysis and the landscape analysis, potential recommendations, and where things fit in the three defined priority areas for the HITECH, as well as under our opportunity to create additional areas that are priority based upon the environment. We'll then have a public comment period, and we'll kind of close by following up with our next steps so we know what's ahead for us. And with that, I will hand the mic back to Lauren and Michelle.
Great. Thanks, Carolyn. So we have, I'll let Michelle kind of speak to the size here, but just a quick kind of status of the fiscal year 19 report, completing all the required steps, including final transmittal to HHS Secretary and Congress. And then today we'll get into kind of the draft list of topics that Carolyn just mentioned in terms of starting to frame the discussion and content for the fiscal year 20 report. So, Michelle?
Yes, I'll just mention, I think we have a slide or two about our schedule. So we've got a couple dates this month and one for next month in preparation for presenting to the June HITECH meeting, which will be virtual. We'll present the topic list that we come up with in the next couple weeks. And then we're starting to set up meetings that will be monthly through the end of the calendar year. We want to try to get the draft written up a little bit earlier this year and use our crosswalk tool maybe earlier in the process. So over the summer, I think we'll switch to a crosswalk view of the topics against the gaps and opportunities and potential recommendations. So it does mean we might need to meet in August this year rather than pushing out till September, because the September HITECH meeting is a little bit earlier than last year, and Labor Day hits right in the middle of all that. So look for that request coming your way about when to schedule a meeting for August, and let us know what works for you, as well as July. We're getting those two on the schedule soon. Then I think we can just turn to the topic list. Yeah, I have a slide in there about the full committee dates, which are available on the website as well.
And I would just interject before we hop into the topics, Brett and Christina, if you have any dates that you know will be particularly problematic coming up through the next few months, please go ahead and send those to Lauren and Michelle and Erin and I so we can be sure to get those on the calendar and know that those are times we shouldn't plan to work on things. I know with all the COVID rescheduling and practice deactivations and reactivations and such, things might have changed. We want to be sure that you have the time off that you certainly have earned and need. And if you help us with the scheduling, we can ensure that that happens.
You got it, Carolyn. I think I already got my stuff to Katie last week in terms of those dates that went out for the next couple months.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and if you see some changes on the horizon or things coming into the fall, you know, with meeting shifts and stuff, just let us know, because we definitely want to be sure you get in the things that you need, given that you're giving us all this time when things are so crazy in the environment.
I got my tentative in as well.
Yep, absolutely. So, shall we launch into the potential topics? Okay. So a list of potential topics was sent out, and I'm trying to see, is that in the small sidebar? Pull up my list. Do we have a list to show, or are we using our own?
Yes,
you know, that was just a preliminary. Yep.
There we go. Okay. I was going to say, gosh, my eyesight's getting worse by the minute. Okay.
Estelle, is there any way we can zoom in on that a little bit? That helps a little. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we'll just start at the top and go through as far as we can go.
And Kelly, do you want me to give just a second or two on the structure of this document? It's similar to last year's, same format. It starts with some comments that were collected during the last round of commenting on the last report, and some of them are, you know, current issues. And then there's the next section is additional comments that came up in meetings after the report was approved. So that started to cover some of the COVID response. So you'll see some public health ideas start to creep in. And then the next section starts on page 4 is a list of topics from last year that were already published in the last report that probably need to be mentioned again, things like the rule, TEFCA, some basic stuff that we know is going forward. And then there's, I think it's the last section in the current ideas that there's some new ideas that we're adding or suggesting be added that's coming kind of from either meetings at the high tech held or the ONC's thinking, or we have our Audacious Inquiry contractors supporting this. They've been doing research the last few months while you guys were on break and noticed some things in literature that looked promising. And then the final section is on page 7 through 9. We don't necessarily have to go over it today. It's pretty detailed, but it's just starting to capture thoughts around if we want to keep certain topics from last year, especially in the landscape analysis, they may not carry through to every gap and opportunity, but maybe are still important for general information. What are some thoughts around what needs to be updated there? So those are just sort of capturing some ideas, but we want to make sure people saw them before we get much further and we don't spend a lot of time on them if they're not interesting to people. So, yeah, I think the goal today and next week is, or 2 weeks from now, is just to start working through the list, you know, as chronologically as we can down the, or sequentially down the list, and kind of give ONC direction of, like, yes, no, keep this in your crosswalk tool or not. We don't necessarily have to develop them a lot further at the moment. It's sort of like a gut check of, like, do we want to keep these in our list of thinking right now?
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, it's quite a good list, so we probably won't get through all of it today, but we can get a good start on things. So the first thing on the list is price transparency, and this is increase attention to improving patient access to financial information, including showing any progress made by the HITECH while discussing the intersection of clinical and administrative data in the HITECH ICAD task force. So in terms of the target area, this is federal activities. We did mention it in the 19 report, although we didn't get into it in great depth because those comments came in quite late and there were different pieces of legislation that looked like they were going to impact this. And we didn't have the final rollout, so it was kind of would have been difficult to deal with it. What are your thoughts about it today?
Sort of a nebulous issue, increased attention. Not sure. Obviously showing progress, but progress based on what? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do we need to show? I mean, I know what Cynthia's, what she's said in several meetings in terms of what she wants from a price transparency standpoint, but when I read it, I was kind of like, I'm not sure what to make of the description of the issue and what to do with it. Y'all have any thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead, Carolyn.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think we've even gotten marginally close to talking about metrics or how you would assess what this is, what this means. And from that perspective, I agree, Brad. I don't know that it's something that we'll get to, that the high tech will get to this year. Go ahead, Christina.
Now, I was trying to pull up the last report that we wrote to see if I couldn't remember if this was an item on there. I mean, I do think that from a consumer perspective, I don't know that this is what Cynthia is getting at, but from a consumer perspective in general, having more price transparency is really important. So it could be just in the landscape analysis, an overview of where we stand as an industry to start the discussion and get moving in the right direction, even if it's not as robust as the high tech taking it on right now. Just listening to the two of you and your thoughts. But I do think, in general, price transparency is important.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That's a great way to put it in terms of making it part of the landscape. I was struggling with a specific high-tech activity or, as you said, Carolyn, kind of metric that we're trying to show improvement upon or moving in a certain direction. That I don't know, but I like what you said, Christina, that it's more of a picture of the landscape and that it's important to consume. It's important to everybody. I don't discount that at all. I'm just not sure what the particular targeted activity that we're to comment on there.
Oh, I agree. I do think it's a topic of particular importance to patient consumers, but also to other stakeholders in the sense that organizations and other individuals have to do their own planning and management of their organization. So yeah, maybe it's something to put in the landscape and see if other developments occur over the year that we can use to flesh that out more.
So to Christina's point about last year's report, it is a good idea to tie back the statements we've made previously. It was part of our summary table of gaps and opportunities and activities. So the activity was offer ideas for the role of health IT in improving price transparency of healthcare services. We could either say we've already addressed this as a future activity we don't really need to mention again this year, or you could follow up and push this further or just mention it again. I mean, you have multiple options here of acknowledging the past.
I think my own personal preference would be to leave it on the list and say there is ongoing interest in this area. I think with everything that's going on with COVID and some delayed efforts to get things moving on the final rule, it's probably not something that there will be a lot of movement on this year. But I see it as the lack of action having to do with the logistics rather than with interest, per se.
Yeah, that's fair, Carolyn.
Okay, should we move to the next one?
Sounds good.
So this is EHR. I'm sorry.
I was just saying sounds good. Sorry.
Oh.
Lag.
Okay. So this topic is EHRs and patient safety. And the description of the issue is reviewing changes that could be made to the Health IT Certification Program to support improvements to patient safety. We could refer to the JAMA study on ONC safety issues with CERT that gets at the interoperability target area it was sort of indirectly referenced in the fiscal 19 report.
Yeah, to supplement that, the activity last year, well, it started with a gap of EHR-related adverse patient safety events, and the activity suggested was develop recommendations on ways ONC can include EHR-related patient safety events in the EHR reporting program, which is still getting underway. So it's a little early yet still.
Right, and there was also some discussion about this from the usability perspective in the clinician burden reduction strategy and from the implementation side with the SAFER guides. So maybe this is something that we want to leave on the list, but we don't know what the action will be. We're just going to kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds good.
Okay. The next topic, establish common metadata nomenclature and use. This gets at determining the types of metadata and related standards necessary to facilitate machine-based clinical data management, including management of exchanged data to reconcile data from multiple sources. This is in the interoperability area. It was not in the fiscal 19 report. It was something that was suggested by Terry O'Malley. And then in terms of where it's at, ONC's National Health IT Priorities for Research, Policy and Development Agenda calls for a presentation to HITACH about metadata standards. I'm wondering if you have any more thoughts about that, Christina.
Yeah, I think that we should highlight this. I remember when Terry brought it up, and it was well received by the HITACH, and in light of the note on here that it's an ONC priority to do a presentation for HITACH, I think we should star this.
Lauren, do you have any? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, I would agree. The data from multiple sources and being able to reconcile it is so important. It's important in research, but then also just the clinical end user becoming more and more of an issue.
Lauren, do you know if we have a presentation scheduled for a HITACH meeting or if that's something that you're thinking will happen later on this year?
Yeah, I think we were anticipating just a brief update starting in June. But then certainly we should be ready for a more in-depth discussion by the meeting in September.
Okay. That sounds good. We may wind up with more to discuss in the report as a result of those efforts as well.
Yeah, I think this goes beyond just the discussion, but a potential like charge to some of the HITACH task forces, like thinking through it. Beyond just a presentation, but what would the next steps be? Those ONCs looking at the presentation, maybe trying to think of early things that we could ask the committee to do.
So perhaps some recommendations for us to be thinking about in the fall after we've had the larger presentation in September or perhaps October. If it rolls back a bit.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. The next item, updates to the U.S. CDI. The issue here is consider additional data elements that may include images, care plans, and price and payment information. This falls under the interoperability priority area. Was not included in the 19 report. And the note there is that these comments go beyond the work undertaken by the US CDI last year. And the question is, would the HITACH consider such elements in fiscal year 20 or beyond that?
So on this one, as it relates to US CDI, there's a whole promotion process that we've put in place. So it's not necessarily up to us to just come up with a pocket or a grouping of data elements to be considered for USCDI. And the high tech can certainly submit comments to the USCDI and back up the data elements with the right criteria, but I don't know, based on where we are with work around the USCDI, that this one really makes sense.
Yeah,
and
I
I'm not
agree with you.
Picking on the data element.
No, not at all, but it undermines, like, what was the use of outlining the whole process last year if we don't use it? Right.
So I'm thinking if it falls off the list, it'll probably be brought back again. I mean, if it falls out of the report completely, I'm thinking it would get brought back again by the members who have an interest in that area. So perhaps on our parking lot, we need an area that's still too soon to address these topics or would require other high-tech activity to get a fuller reviewing or something along those lines. I agree with you, Christine. It's really not something for the annual report committee to take up.
Right. But the natural process and the promotion process, sorry for that, but is for there to be a review by the high tech. So this is already going to organically happen based on the USCDI promotion cycle.
Okay. And it sounds like maybe we don't really have anything at all to do with it. Okay. The next item is increasing interoperability across the broader care continuum. And the issue here is the long-term post-acute care, behavioral health, and home and community-based service settings are limited in the ability to exchange data with clinical providers, including social determinants of health data. And that falls under the interoperability target area, was not addressed or covered in the 19 report that was suggested by a high-tech member. It doesn't look like we really did anything with this yet. I think this was something that came in very late, or perhaps even in January, when we were not able to address it in any way.
I would agree that this is an important topic.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the landscape. I'm not sure what to do with it. It's a huge black hole right now for patients in terms of their data.
Why don't we leave it on the list with an asterisk to revisit it in September, perhaps? I'm thinking with all that's going on with COVID and, you know, the care transitions that are needing to be addressed and the greater urgency of exchanging data in some of these kinds of situations, perhaps there will be more to talk about or more happening a few months from now. I agree it's important, but like you said, Brett, I'm not sure what we do with it today. Okay.
I might want to think through that one a little bit more, but I think that's okay for right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, definitely we can revisit this list quickly. Michelle, can you put an asterisk by that one? And we'll be sure that we revisit it on the next call.
Sure. Plus, we'll have chances over the summer in the crosswalk to address all of these again in a different format. So it won't be just until September that we wait on some of these. We'll have another crack at them in a different format. But, yeah, I'll mark this one to come up again next week or 2 weeks from now. Sorry. I keep doing that, too.
Yeah, no, we just don't want to forget it. So that brings us to the correction of incorrect data and the ramifications of exchange of incorrect data. Today, we don't have much ability to correct inaccuracies that have been exchanged. so things get further disseminated. We need transparency about the accuracy of patient data, and consent to share it are not there for patients, and that becomes a patient safety issue. This one falls into two priority areas, target areas, the interoperability and the patient access. We did not touch it last year, and it was brought up by one of the HITECH members earlier this year. Doesn't look like we have any notes on this yet.
I feel like this is an important one to understand what is really going on out there. Now, we're an Epic shop, and I sit on a Epic committee that's trying to understand what's the best way to approach this. If you do a correction in Epic, what's your downstream effect responsibility and things? But I don't know what's going on out there outside of our system or outside of our EHR. Other thoughts?
That's a good point. I honestly don't know, because I've never had the opportunity to change anything in the record that was wrong. Lauren, does this fall under any activity or presentation or anything that may be coming to the HITECH this year, do you think?
Well, not specifically, but we're, currently kind of reviewing the list of topics that the HITECH will kind of address broadly for the remainder of the calendar year. So we're looking more broadly right now. So I may have a better response by the time of the June meeting. How specifically we want to get relative to these topics.
Okay, that sounds good.
And also let me know if you want any presenters to come to this meeting. Like, we did a listening session a couple of years ago with all the cybersecurity experts across the federal government, which was helpful. So if there's anybody we want to bring in for a presentation, we can add that to our agenda someday.
Yeah.
I can see it. Target for HITECH or the ONC to just outline, guidance. What are your responsibilities, either as an individual or organization or data collector, when you are brought? Because the biggest, it's one thing if it's a note. We have those processes in place, at least internally. But if we start exchanging, like we are now, labs and those kinds of data, and all of a sudden we realize, oh, that instrument wasn't calibrated correctly, well, we send out that correction internally, but then what happens downstream and data provenance with that? I don't think there's really any national guidance, so maybe that would be a goal to understand if ONC could be tasked with that we could give guidance to as a committee. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, and I'm trying to recall if we had any plans to have, I wouldn't say hearing, maybe that kind of implies something pretty big, but if we had any plans for discussions about health information exchange, or if there will be some discussions related to TEFCA, where this might be something that can be at least presented in brief and get a 15 or 20 minute airing as something that members were interested in earlier, and where are we at? Is it something that they want to try to work on either this year or next, or kind of see where it sits? I'm thinking there might be other, it may be that the TEFCA group and the RCEs are a place to get more information about the downstream effects, when you're making changes to a record that's already been transmitted. Well, we can leave it asterisked as something we want to circle back to at a future meeting. So the next item I see is the patient consent for data sharing. And here the issue is to further improve clarity around patient consent for research and exchange of data. For example, Do receivers of push data need to consent to receiving it? More generally, HITACS should discuss the trade-off between increased interoperability, protecting privacy, and public interest during the COVID-19 pandemic. Looking at things like increased contact tracing and remote monitoring, for example, have some security concerns around them. In terms of the target areas, this is public health and privacy and security. We have not addressed this in the past, but it's been brought up by several members at the January and April HITACS meetings. So it's definitely something that we already have some collective action and interest in. And I think there is probably interest on the part of other people who are not listed on the sheet.
And I can take a minute to point out the addition of public health as a target area, because it's coming from the Cures Act itself, where there were priority target areas and then there were additional target areas. And we've only so far needed to use the priority target areas. But the additional target areas allow the HITACS to take up other topics without having to go back to Congress to kind of inform them that we're going in a new direction. So public health, or specifically technology for supporting public health, was one of the target areas that we're allowed to add to this work without much overhead. And there's a question generally for this group that we're not have to resolve today, because I'm not sure what the right answer is quite yet, but is public health a separate target area from the existing interoperability and privacy security and patient access to information, or is it matrixed with it where we want to insert public health in those three existing areas, or do you want to add it to that list to make it four areas? It's hard to say at the moment. I think we have to talk through a lot of them to see where they fit, but I just want to point this out as a general construct for the group and why that got added to this list early on. Trigger that discussion. All right. So back to the specific item. Sorry, I don't want to take us off course, but I want to make sure people understood where that was coming from.
Well, I think that given all the COVID stuff that we're dealing with this year, I could see where public health would be a separate subsection of the report where we talk about many different developments that have ties to the public health needs and requirements and their kind of boots on the ground situation now. Consent being one thing, but data exchange standards and security, dealing with typically underfunded groups that are in government where things can't move super fast, but now they suddenly have all these additional needs pressed on them because of the pandemic. I think it would be hard. It might be less cumbersome in terms of framing a report to just pull all that into one section rather than to have a little bit here and a little bit there strewn throughout the whole 80 or 90 pages.
We
can talk about suggestion. The format later on, but I'm just trying to think in terms of cohesion for readers. But anyway. Yeah, I think it's certainly an issue, and by fall we should know a lot more about the U.S. strategy for contact tracing and have a better sense of what some states are doing. Let's ask Ariskit to revisit later in the year.
And we can group it that way. Possibly in the crosswalk, so we can start to see what it might look like. So we'll have a sense even sooner if it's coming together as an idea.
Okay. The next issue, privacy and security of synthetic data. And this gets at determining the unique privacy and security considerations driven by the emergence of synthetic data, which is a data set that's derived from real data, is statistically identical to the real data, but is allegedly a completely new data set that does not relate to any actual human being. the notion being if you had this kind of a data set, you could conduct research, train machine learning models, and so on without the constraints of HIPAA and assumably other privacy statutes. So this fits into the target area of emerging issues. We did not do anything with it last year. A HITECH member brought it up in written comments. And ONC now is conducting a project called Synthetic Health Data Generation to Accelerate Patient-Centered Outcomes Research, which will go on through 2022. So I would think it's at least in the landscape analysis. Does this look like something that would have anything to do with what was previously discussed for like a privacy working group or some privacy-related activities, Lauren?
We can certainly keep that on the kind of broader topic under privacy and security. We're still also kind of combing through a lot of the, you know, specific privacy and security suggestions that we got from last year, and trying to sort that out, you know, amongst everything else that's going on. So more to come on that, but nothing concrete at the moment.
Yeah, between this and the last one, I'm wondering if we don't need some new tags. Carolyn, on the last one you mentioned putting like different sections, maybe a public health area, and then this one has an importance to research. And in the past, we've grouped or ranked things that we want to address based on like high, medium, low priority. I wonder if we don't start tagging based on like stakeholders or almost high impact needs right now. So if we see trends of different areas that are going to really help with COVID, for example, / future pandemics, then we start marking it and we can kind of pull out that list and visually see if there are any overlaps between that and research and some other areas, public health, whatever it may be. It just might help us focus and prioritize our work for what's going to impact just real world initiatives.
Okay. Nope, that makes sense. It's like so many things are coming at us so quickly, it almost feels like we need another set of ways of prioritizing and thinking through the additional target areas that we are able to decide are important enough to work on. Because certainly there's a lot here that I think probably none of us were thinking at all about 6 months ago.
Yeah, and by no means did I mean an extensive rework of the report, Michelle. So don't think that I just an or
well,
even an area, just like a thing.
Yeah, so we already have a column in our crosswalk that's for prioritization that we added at the end last year. But I think going into it this year, we'll already be thinking about it because we'll have a space for it that we didn't originally have. So
yeah,
I think we're already on the same page.
So I guess maybe just like come up with a few more things to add to that list, to add to that column that we already made. Perfect. Thank you.
And I like your tagging idea and thinking about the impact, and that ties into your prioritization. And we'll see if the same prioritization approach works again this year if we want to try other things.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And before we go off this page, Carolyn, if we're done with the synthetic data, we want to circle back to the consent because I think I interjected but accidentally pulled us off the topic talking about public health instead. So if you wanted to circle back to see if anybody had comments on the patient consent topic.
Yeah, let's go for it. Other thoughts about, do we need to be thinking about developing this for the privacy target area as well as the potential public health area?
Yeah, I think that's the tension in this line item right now, that it was kind of pre-existing in January as an idea, but it came up again in April. in a different context. So it is kind of cross-cutting that way.
For patient consent? Is that the one you're referring to, Michelle?
Yes. So the second row from the bottom on page 2. We just accidentally skipped over responding to it. That's all. So I'm circling back to.
I think we decided it was really important. I think it's going to be increasingly important. I feel like patient consent is something that ONC and industry has been aware that we need more work around it and work is being done. Maybe it needs to be get more attention and accelerated more with COVID. I think, I mean, even today on my little briefings, I think I was reading a political article on just privacy concerns mounting over COVID-19 tech that just made me pause. So I think this is going to be just increasingly important and get more attention.
Yeah, I agree. And when the tough co-work has been implemented in the field and Sequoia is able to give us a fuller view of how that's been going, we may come up against some new issues or some nuances of known issues there as well. So it may be that there's some teasing out to do when we circle back to TEFCO later this year.
I know this is Aaron's area, so he probably has concrete things to add here. So we'll maybe circle back when he's available again.
Yeah, that's a really
good thing. And then his homework.
Yes, I know. We said we were going to do it.
There we go. So here's a topic that I think is probably ripe for some real work this year. And this is labeled under the high-tech administration. But this gets at doing some kind of tool or some work to show progress against the past high-tech recommendations, and also, you know, how those things relate to annual report opportunities and recommended activities. You know, where have we really been doing what we thought we should be looking at, and what should we be doing in the future? We haven't looked at this before, but it was brought up by a high-tech member, I think, with support from a number of other people, including us. And I see there's a note that ONC has been working on this in recent months. Is there more to share about that, Michelle or Lauren?
Yeah. Lauren, do you want to say anything first?
Sure. Apologize. The long guys are here. But we are, you know, just in the very early stages of internally building out a system or a database to help kind of just track the recommendations that we've received to date and, you know, where they currently are or how they've been, you know, integrated into ONC policy or program. So it's still in the very early stages, but in the meantime, we're anticipating updates from the various task forces that we've had to date to see, you know, where and how those recommendations have been incorporated.
Right. And
so
okay.
Yeah, we don't have an exact timeline for that yet,
right.
But maybe by the fall we'll be able to have a little bit more a specific announcement for the committee.
Yeah, I was just going to mention timeline. That even if the database interface isn't quite complete for ONC's use, we can still get to the raw data to compile a report if we need to. But part of the issue is that all the previous recommendations are very text-heavy, and we didn't really have a set format to follow. So as we know in our EHR world, that making that into structured data from free text is a challenge. So that's kind of one of our barriers, but we're hoping that at least we'll gather that data, and then going forward in the future recommendations, we might have a chance to structure them a little bit so we can track them more easily and then report out in this report more easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is important for us and the report but certainly also for the full high tech in terms of you know, really evaluating where we are. The infographic was nice, but I think with this kind of a tool, we could give more granularity. And it, as a committee, it might help us think through and provide meaningful feedback about where we want to try to go for 2021, you know, at a point when we're still far enough out that we can really affect what's on the schedule. I know this year with the different initiatives, it felt like it was hard to provide a lot of feedback because we just kept right on going through the fall. So the next, here's another section, additional HITAC member comments for consideration. I see the first three were submitted by Aaron, so my thinking is probably should set those aside for right now and let him be a part of that discussion. The next one is TESCA and patient access, and this is one that came from Christina. QHIN entity for patient-facing apps, maybe following patient engagement roadmap. This is part of interoperability. Do you want to talk a bit more about that, Christina?
No.
Okay. Does that mean that you're thinking we wouldn't put this in the annual report?
No, I do. I think it's important. I mean, I've been thinking through it a lot, and I wouldn't mind, like, brainstorming with others on this. I think there's a major gap in just thinking through TEPCA and being able to have consumer access, patient access. It does not fit into the current model that exists, I do think it would be really great to have more of a patient-focused QHIN, or at least access points within the QHIN dedicated to patients that have their own vetting of apps and enable ecosystems where patients can have access to different kinds of applications to be able to interact with their data. And not, well, access it and interact with it. I mean, I've thought through this quite a bit, but understand there are major challenges. I just think that as we create frameworks, as we continue to create frameworks, we should constantly think about how patients are going to access and interact with their data and how it's going to build as we advance. What I don't want is us to create this whole great ecosystem within TEFCA and we still have the same issues with patient applications and access to their information being tied to specific hospital organizations or even just organizations in general, where they can't access it across the broader ecosystem, similar to providers being able to access information across the broader ecosystem. I mean, I'd like others' thoughts. I know it's a challenge, but I do think it's important, and I think it's important for us to think about early.
Christina, what would be the difference? Do we need to stop? I'm sorry.
No, go for it, Brett.
Just say what. So I understand patient access to their data, but then are you saying, which I think TEPCA provides for at least a roadmap, then are you saying they would have access to other applications? I'm confused as what they wouldn't have with TEPCA. What you're? Could you clarify that?
Yeah. Do I have time to keep going? I see public comment slide.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's finish this one.
Okay. So if I think historically about like what we were trying to do when we had the whole initiatives around Blue Button and consumer access and view, download, transmit, and the idea that patients can access any of their information and send it where they want. In the error of meaningful use stage two, we had the National Association for Trusted Exchange, which took over the like blue button trust bundles that basically enabled, were conceptually supposed to enable the ability for patients to view, download, and transmit their health information wherever they wanted, despite the provider that they went to. That didn't really work because a trust ecosystem wasn't enabled. So during that time, a lot of innovative app vendors came together. My organization, Gera Health, is one of them, and we were hoping to be able to access clinical data to be able to provide patients with tools that were more applicable to their care management. And these could go outside of the hospital setting. It could be nonprofit groups, for example, that have very specific patient needs. But it really just opens the ecosystem for others to be able to come in and use data and give patients access to their information and tools to engage with that. And I'm cutting myself short because I'm looking at the time, but I think we tried to do this once, but it didn't work because of the trust framework that needed to be in place. But I think there was a desire from stakeholders that were aware of it that really saw the value. So now that we've come a lot further and we've learned a lot, I don't want us to just think, well, patients aren't interested in this type of access, or app developers wouldn't tap into these resources and build really cool tools just because of history, because historically they just didn't have access to the information in the first place. So it was just apps with no information or data.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk so long. I was trying to consolidate it.
Oh, no, it's helpful. Thank you.
Why don't we leave it on the list to be revisited at a future meeting? I think we have a few things that are asterisked. I mean, maybe an option is to see if there are other high-tech members who would want to do like a virtual discussion about this particular topic. I hesitate to bring forth more Zoom meetings, but maybe that's where it starts in terms of high-tech understanding if it wants to engage with this and so how it does and what sort of discussion we should be looking at, given that we're a ways down the road from the last time that we thought about it.
Yeah, and I think one thing to highlight on here is the work that the Karen Alliance is doing as well.
Okay. So I know we're like up against the hour. Let's go to public comment, and then if we need to swoop back with anything, we can do that.
Sure. Operator, can we open the line?
Yes, if you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for one moment to poll for comments. There are no comments.
Okay. If I can make a suggestion, over the next couple of weeks before the next meeting, Christina, how about if you give some thought to how we might try to kind of jumpstart this discussion again, you know, whether that's just an informal meeting that high-tech members can attend or not. I mean, by informal, I mean not part of a particular task force or work group or something. Or if we need a presentation, maybe from Sequoia or some other group to talk about where things are at and how they've changed since the last time that we thought this was too complicated to take up. And just how, or whatever else we could do to think about how to start wrapping our arms around this and looking at that. It sounds like there's a lot there, and it would be good to at least get it in the landscape in some place, if not at the gap point. But maybe we need to better understand that before we can find a good way to deal with it. And Erin may have really good thoughts, too.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we're at the top of the hour, and I don't want to take up any more of your time. But I think we had some really good discussion today and a good start on working through this list. And I made a few notes that I will forward to Erin. And I imagine Michelle probably has some as well, so we can bring him up to speed and have some good discussions in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for attending, and I'll pass the mic back to Lauren.
Got nothing else for me. Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.